I'm Danica Juarez.
And I'm Jan James.
And this is
How's It Hold Up?
Hi, I'm Danica.
And I'm Jan.
And I'm Valerie.
And today we watched the Merry Melodies cartoon, I Haven't Got a Hat, from 1935, named after the song of the same name that features briefly within it. This was directed by Fritz Freleng, and is also famously the first cartoon to star a certain Looney Tunes star. Did you guys notice that?
Yes.
Yeah, Beans the cat, who everyone loves and remembers.
Yeah, little
definitely.
Scamp.
Definitely. This cartoon starred Porky Pig in it. He's not actually like in a huge portion of the cartoon, but he's there, and he has the stuttering that we kind of know him for, to a bigger degree than we're perhaps used to. Who would like to give? I'll do it. I'll give us the synopsis, which is that there's a school like talent show going on. Multiple characters are introduced at the outset with their names and showing them, because the purpose of the short is immediately clear. And then the show happens to show off a couple of different characters, and then at the end it's kind of Beans the cat versus Oliver Owl, some shenanigans kind of thing. It's pretty simple. It's basically just trying to throw these characters at you and see if any of them stick. What did we think of this cartoon?
It was okay. It was okay.
Yeah. I think Porky was like one of the highlights. As a short, I think it has the more historical value, but isn't, like, super entertaining on its own.
Yeah, it wears its purpose on its sleeve in a way that just kind of distracts from it being a funny cartoon in and of itself. There's definitely some stuff that I laughed at, but it's not a cartoon I'd go back to a bunch. Let's get specific. So this was actually inspired by the Hal Roach Our Gang live-action shorts, with the short introducing several new characters as grade school students, with the obvious hope that some of them would catch on.
Our gang, like Little Rascals?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the kind of vibe that they're going for with having them be kids and everything.
Yeah.
Their Warner Brothers' biggest cartoon star, Bosco, had left, taken with his creators, and the replacement, Buddy, was boring and no one really cared about him, as evidenced by the fact that I've not shown you a single one of those cartoons. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. And so they had tried a couple of times early on. We saw some of their early attempts at getting a Merry Melodies star with like Goopy Gear and Piggy and stuff like that, and Foxy, most of which were just like Mickey Mouse clones and not terribly interesting. So they're trying it again. They're trying a new, fresh approach. At least none of these are obvious XBs for Mickey Mouse. But yeah, they're trying to get a new cartoon star. After this short, Warner Brothers initially thought that it would be Beans that would be their next big cartoon star.
Beans.
They proceeded to have him star in several more shorts after this, a couple of which Porky co-starred in. And we will talk more about what happens with Porky when we get there. But yeah, it was Beans that they were pushing at first.
He's a little scamp.
What do we think of the story and the characters and stuff? The characters are the main thing. What do we think about the characters here?
I was surprised that they were kids, that Porky was a kid.
Yeah.
That wasn't expected. I found his performance really endearing. They did a good job showing him being nervous about it. Like, he would start sweating when he would kind of get caught.
Yeah.
I really liked his, because you were kind of rooting for him.
Well, and also, not only was he nervous, but he was so determined. It was just like he was just fighting to get it out and to say it right. And it was just, I really, really enjoyed him.
So Mel Blanc isn't here yet, so he's obviously not voicing Porky. The person currently voicing Porky, and who will be voicing him for a while, is Joe Daughtry. Yeah, Joe Daughtry. who was actually a person who stuttered and had difficulty controlling it. We will talk more about that in future cartoons, but yeah, this is actually a struggle for him.
I almost wish they had kept him then. That makes me feel even better about it, because he sounded like the Porky I'm used to. You know what I mean? It didn't sound so different.
Yeah, his natural voice is sped up. It's chipmunked, you know, to make him much higher pitched, especially to fit being a kid. Yeah. We will actually see a short where he has his natural voice, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, that'll be interesting. Oh,
wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Porky will vacillate between being a child and an adult for a little bit. So,
yeah.
Actually, for a long bit. But yeah. Currently, funny. It's Joe Daughtry, and he's going to be there for a bit. What do we think about some of the other characters?
The little girl who...
Little Kitty?
Yes.
Oh, that she was.
She's
so
probably the funniest
cute.
To me.
Yeah.
Just because of the cornflakes, and then also just noping out. Just like, bye. Just bye. She like well, she's like more up. And more nervous reciting her thing. She's speeding up. It's starting to chipmunk her voice. And then she just bolts. She just keeps going. She just keeps saying it as she walks out the side. And then we see through the window she has gone outside and she is leaving. She's gone.
Yes.
I liked her working with the teacher who she's like, Mary had a little... And the teacher brings out. I thought she was going to bring like a real lamb, but it was just a picture. And then, yes, the cornflakes was
yeah, she
very
like
funny.
She the teacher gets some cornflakes and throws it up above her and has it rain down like snow is the thing that's supposed to be conveyed. But instead, little Kitty says cornflakes.
Yes.
She says it pretty confidently, too. That's part of it. She is voiced by Bernice Hansen, who we have heard before. She does cutesy character voices. She's also the voice of Ham and X, besides the boom, boom, boom. That's obviously someone else. I don't have a record of who. But yeah, she's the main voice for those characters, for cutesy type characters. And she'll be with Warner Brothers for basically the rest of the decade doing those sorts of characters, whether or not it's Little Kitty or Ham and X.
Yeah. So yeah, Ham and X was next. They came in with little fanfare. The song was cute, but I guess the joke was the bum bum bum. Otherwise, like, there wasn't a lot of comedy there.
It's interesting to me that their personalities really aren't shown off in this short at all. They're just the vehicle for the music. Because I can tell you easily what their personalities are, and they're the annoying little kids that cause trouble. That's what they are. There's short that we won't watch where he's like a fireman and they're just running loose in the fire station and he's trying to deal with them. Like, that's the sort of character they are, the annoying little kid, which is a staple in a lot of cartoons that we haven't been watching because, God, I can't.
Because you hate them.
Yeah, they're basically the prototype of Huey, Dewey, and Louie sort of character, but, like, they're not. Huey, Dewey, and Louie work better because of who they are pitted against, whereas these sorts of characters at this point in time tend to be pitted against straight men like Mickey Mouse, and it's just annoying.
Yeah,
or Bosco. This is the I want my ice cream kid, basically.
Yeah, right.
That's what they are.
Their little intro circle thing, they were kind of whispering to each other, and I thought they were like going to be creepy twins or something. I don't know.
I think that's too galaxy brain a take for 1935 fave. Would have loved it, but I don't think they would have gone there.
Yeah, creepy twins was my thought, but I guess not.
What do we think of Oliver Owl?
Oh, yeah, he was snooty.
He wasn't bad. I liked him better than the cat.
Than Beans.
Yeah, than Beans. And I liked him better than the twins.
Babe, I love how you keep hyping up Beans as if you actually care. So can you tell us a little about Beans, babe?
Beans just wanted some candy, and he was... kind of brushed off by what's his face?
Oliver
Owl. And so he's like, well, I'll show you. And he did. And that's Beans.
Thanks, babe. I like that Miss Cud also gets a thing at the beginning, even though she's like not really one of the characters they're trying to sell. Like, she doesn't... I think she appears once or twice after this, but she's not ever... She never had potential to be the main character, so it's fascinating that she's gets a name thing at the beginning and Little Kitty doesn't.
Right, yeah, because hers was in kind of combo with Little Kitty in terms of, like, she was there trying to feed her the lines.
Yeah.
But you know, that it focused on Kitty because she was the one performing.
Right. Yeah, just a weird
choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. She looked so much like Clarabelle Cow to me initially, but I liked her character.
With this sort of basic art style, a lot of animals just look the same.
Yeah. I liked how Beans took a cat and put it in the piano, but he's also a cat, but that cat was just like sleeping on the ladder outside, so this is ostensibly a pet cat. It was funny.
You were like, this is his little brother.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Just already they're like, don't think about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And I'm assuming we're gonna hone in more on actual animation and design or whatever. But
we can start talking about it if you want.
Well, yeah, and I guess what I was gonna say, I know it is a very skilled craft to do animation.
Yeah.
But I don't get why they can't have cute designs.
Nah.
Because, like, Porky Pig, I really liked his little character, but it's so unappealing design. Whereas the owl, like, Oliver Owl.
You're calling his little kid ugly.
Well, because I'll tell you why. To me, he didn't look like a little kid. He didn't have soft enough features, whereas, like, Oliver Owl looked like a little kid.
Uh-huh.
Even, to me, Beans didn't really look like a little kid. Yeah, he was smaller, and he's supposed to be a little kid. So, I mean, you know...
Well, Mom, I have good news for you. Porky Pig's design is going to vary wildly over the next 5 years.
Is it?
So
is it?
Enjoy
yeah,
that.
Yeah. 5 years. Yeah. I mean, even, for example... Okay, let me just
probably longer, but at least 5 years.
Let me just give you an example. They, because of, like, more rounded and, you know, again, almost circle like things. If you look at like Muppet Babies, when they did like a little, you know, cartoon on that, they make them round, even Kermit's little face and all that.
Muppet Babies has a few years on this one in terms of design and understanding what works for audiences.
Yeah,
and
so
stuff.
I mean, I'm just not getting why they can't make these characters cuter.
Mom, he will definitely in some cartoons be cuter.
I was not a fan of his design. I was not a fan of Bean's design. And I absolutely was not a fan of the twins' design.
Interesting. Yeah, they were kind of boring.
They're all pretty boring designs is the thing.
I think Oliver had the most kind of like detail.
Yeah. And that's why I said he was cute to look at.
And he had his like
glasses.
Frown that he had. Like he had the most kind of personality based just on how he looks and how he carries himself and stuff.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And then the other design I liked the best, more than all the others, was the teacher's design. I think she looked really cute. Not only her dress, but the details.
Yeah, pretty basic, but like it works. Yeah.
Yeah, she was cute.
You guys might have noticed that this had color, but it wasn't as vibrant as, say, the band concert, which is because of Walt Disney's still at the time current exclusive deal with Technicolor, which made this short be produced. This short is produced in Technicolor, but with their two-strip process, red and green, instead of the more expensive and advanced three-strip process that they legally cannot use at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that it's interesting how much they highlight that at the very end, especially by having red and green paint.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, that feels like this means something, but yes. I don't know.
It's highlighting, like, these are the colors we can have. Isn't that cool looking?
Sure.
But it's like, well, not compared to the band concert, but you know, this is all you can do. We've seen a couple of different processes in Warner Brothers cartoons, or at least one other, and among other cartoons. There's different ones happening, like Cinecolor and stuff like that. But I think this is more or less a permanent shift for Warner Brothers using Technicolor. And then once they're able to, they do shift to the three-strip Technicolor.
Yeah.
But it'll probably be another couple of years for that.
Well, the other thing that I did not like about with the animation is that they...
Actually, I think it's actually like the end of this year or the beginning of next. It's actually relatively soon. Please continue.
Oh, okay. Oh, sure. Yeah, no worries. Is they made this big deal of this exchange, well, that Oliver Owl is eating candy and then Beans, you know, wants his candy. And of course, Oliver's being snooty about not sharing. And then Oliver goes to go play the piano and Beans sees this as his opportunity to take some candy. But then Oliver goes back and grabs his candy bag and he puts sit on the right side of the piano, and then he also has his music. But then when Beans puts a dog and cat in the piano to be fighting, and I like how they play this great tune. Yeah, right.
Well, and it's as very, that's a cartoon.
Other,
yeah, yes, yeah.
As they're chasing each other, this wonderful, you know, aggressive, but you know, very allegro.
I mean, goodness knows that concept will be used a lot more in future, especially in classic Tom and Jerry and Bugs Bunny shorts where they're trying to deal with a mouse and the piano. And as they're doing it, it's playing music that is pleasing to listen to. Like, yeah. It's a cartoon trope in the making, definitely.
Okay. But anyway, so as all this is going on, the shenanigans in the piano, they just don't bother to draw the candy or the music. No. And you just don't see them. And then at the very end frame, the music comes back, but the candy is gone. And that just bothers me so
It really
much.
Bothered her.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely... They don't have a budget like Disney does, and they definitely cut corners and, like, aren't as, I get not as big an attention to detail with a lot of stuff.
So just don't have the candy then. Don't make that part of it.
But that's for the joke. Why would Beans
They needed
care?
The candy for the first part.
Yeah. Considering the story of this is, like, watching kids perform, I think they did a pretty good job. They did a pretty good job making that fairly engaging, like with Porky Pig. He, you know, his mannerisms of him trying to fight through it, him sweating. And then there was some kids that added a little flair to his story with like stage effects.
Yeah, and sound effects, yes.
And with little Kitty where she's like pacing around, and some of that was repetitive, but...
And she's, like, twisting her dress up and right, contorting and herself.
Crossing her legs and stuff. But it could have been more boring than it was, I think. And so I think they did a good job. And actually, with the voice acting, like, I think still we are in a stage where it's a lot of visual gags and stuff like that. But the voice acting was cleared with the stories. Like, you got the jokes. There's times where either Disney doesn't rely on it as much, or sometimes it was... muffled because that was kind of part of it, but not really the reason for it. But these kids are performing, like orating, and it was clear, and you heard the jokes with like the cornflakes and stuff. So
yeah, I think it's fair to say that it's indicative of the direction Warner Brothers continues to go in moving forward, where they're very gag based but also dialogue based. Like, dialogue is really key to a lot of gags as Warner Brothers really comes into their own. So, yeah.
Yeah, because even I'm just thinking of Animaniacs and the one with the alphabet song or things like that. I really loved, like, because you would then repeat that when you were young and did it so well in imitation. But
well,
was
that's
nice.
A lot later. I'm talking more like 1940s Warner Brothers cartoons, but sure.
Yeah, but I just mean being able to clearly understand and even appreciate the wit, the dialogue.
By the 90s, clearly understanding wasn't an issue. So it's... I understand your comparison, but yeah, there's a lot of time between these two things.
Yeah, that's fair. Valerie, you mentioned some of the when Porky Pig was reciting his poem. I really did like, I forgot what the very first one was, but the second sound effect was that was supposed to be like crashing or thunder or something.
Bullets.
Oh, bullets. That's right. And it was light bulbs being dumped out and crashed on the floor. And that sounded really good. I forgot what the first one was.
The turtle was pounding on his
belly.
Oh,
like horses clopping. Oh, yeah. Like horses clopping. And then what was also cute was when they, something like, I forgot what he was being attacked or taken away, some of the audience members out there whistled and all these dogs came up and started kind of surrounding him. So it was just really cute because it was unexpected, but then also just the thought of the camaraderie or the help from the other classmates.
Yeah. Let's go on to the part that our podcast is named after. How's it hold up? I don't actually really have anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing really egregious here that comes to mind.
I will say, whenever the green paint got flung on Beans, I was like, oh no. But then it was obviously green. And then, so I'm like, okay, they probably won't do like a blackface joke or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was my initial reaction, was like, this person is going to be covered in something. something terrible is going to happen from this.
I think there's also perhaps an extent to which it feels hard to say, but just given it's 1935, I would not be surprised if part of the joke with Porky is laughing at him rather than like Valerie feels like wanting him to succeed. It might more be like, oh, look at this guy can't talk right, and laughing at him. I don't know to what degree that's intended by the creators and to what degree, regardless of their intention, that is the reason some people are laughing in theaters back then. I don't know, but that does feel like it's probably an element.
Yeah, I think with the kids whistling, that definitely seemed more of like get off the stage kind of
thing. It felt like that, yeah.
More unkind.
But yeah, otherwise, yeah, I mean, it holds up. All right. A lot of the ways in which it doesn't hold up is just it's so obvious that they're trying to introduce characters to you and sell you on one of them rather than focused on being a funny cartoon. But yeah, it's fine. Let's go on to our favorites and least favorites. What was your least favorite moment in the cartoon?
My least favorite moment was not getting to see the candy or the music.
I guess Porky being run off by dogs or whatever at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure, I don't feel super strongly.
Yeah, I guess I'll agree with that one.
What was your favorite moment in the cartoon? For me, it was absolutely Little Kitty's thing. Her saying cornflakes and then her just running off, still reciting it, and just disappearing. Very funny.
I'm going to second that. It was so precious. I really liked Porky Pig moments in that, but Little Kitty was just so cute. And it was just so unexpected, especially her going, speeding up so much the way, when it finally dawned on me, I was no longer able to understand anything she was saying. And then her just, she just walks out the door and keeps walking. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I'll agree. Little Kitties was pretty funny.
Who was your least favorite character?
This is a toss-up between Beans and the twins, but I think
I forgot about the twins.
I know.
I kind of want to say the twins was my least favorite.
I know. I think I'm actually going to have to go with the twins.
The song is catchy, but it really doesn't display their personality in any meaningful way. So I will go with the twins just because this cartoon's purpose is to sell these characters and it doesn't do a good job with them at all in terms of actually selling you what they are.
Yeah, the twins.
Who was your favorite character?
I may have to go with Kitty again because even though I really like Porky Pig, his design was so off-putting. And so I really liked
ugly to be the favorite. Yeah,
Mom says, this kid is ugly. Not like the look of this child.
He didn't look like a child is why I didn't enjoy
it. What a gross kid.
Stop, you're so bad.
I want to say Beans for the bit, but he was fine.
No commitment to the bit.
Did he even perform?
No,
he was being a little stinker.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he even performed.
Little stinky Beans.
Even though, of course, my favorite overall is still Kitty, my favorite actual design, I think, is Oliver Owl.
I'll go with Porky just because I really wanted him to do well.
You were rooting for him.
Yes.
And I'll go with Little Kitty. She got the biggest laughs out of me, so. Let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate it.
As a short, like, there were some good parts, but it wasn't entertaining as a whole. It was just a mechanism to kind of introduce these characters. If you do want to see Porky's first cartoon, it's not bad. There's been worse first cartoons.
Definitely.
So I'll, a light recommendation. I'll give this one a 2.
I think I'm going to agree with you, Valerie. I would lightly recommend, especially after talking about it, I feel a little bit more better than just like, it was okay. Because I forgot about the parts and like Little Kitty and you know, even though it was this short, there were some very cute moments. So I think I will also lightly recommend and then give it a 2.
Same. Lightly, very lightly recommend. It's fine. And give it a 2.
We are unanimous.
Thank you all very much for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
And next time, we will be stopping in with our old friend, Betty Boop.
Okay.
And she has a new friend for us to meet. Join us then.
All right.
Bye.
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 This has been How's It Hold Up with Danica Juarez and Jan James. You can find our podcast on Twitter at How's It Hold Up Pod. That's with each word capitalized and no apostrophe. Also, if you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/user?u=279-0566. Every little bit helps, and even with a minimum pledge, you get access to things you won't hear in our main podcast feed. Check it out for more info. The two pieces of music used in this episode were created by Kevin MacLeod. You can find both The Curtain Rises and Cool Cats at incomptech.com. That's incomptech.com. Both songs were licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. More info on that can be found at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. Thanks for listening. This is the first. This is the...
that's your hint.
Oh my gosh! The hint right before Danica says it anyway.